Our reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, for all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
I am going to pray as I start this morning. Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we think about this passage, this prophecy that you gave to your prophet Isaiah. May these words be a comfort to us this morning. Amen. Well, the Church of England has chosen the theme of comfort and joy this Advent. And I don't know about you, but I could do with some comforting. There is a Danish word, which I'm going to mispronounce, which is called hygge, and it kind of refers to that room that you walk into with the scented candles and the fire and the rugs and the blankets. And it's where we can kind of cocoon for the winter and be comforted by our surroundings. If you are in any doubt, that is the theme of my living room through this winter. I have innumerable scented candles, to the extent that when I come down the next morning, sort of overwhelmed with all the different smells. And this passage that we had from Isaiah this morning is a passage about a comforting message that God gave to Isaiah for his people. It's a passage where Isaiah has been recommissioned by God as a prophet. In chapter 6, he received his first commissioning, and he was called to call the people to repentance. And in chapters 1 to 39 of the book of Isaiah, he spent time predicting the Babylonian exile, warning the people, warning the kings. But they were ignored. And then in chapter 40 starts his new commissioning as a prophet. And rather than it being a call to repentance, it's a message of comfort. The first verse, Isaiah is told to comfort the people, to speak tenderly to them, to proclaim God's message to them. And why is it that the message has changed? It's because what Isaiah predicted is taking place. In chapter 39, King Hezekiah meets the Babylonian envoys. Isaiah warns him not to make a treaty with them, but he does. And then the Israelites are heading into a long period of exile in Babylon. Psalm 137 tells us of the devastation this brought to them. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. As they faced this dark time of history, Isaiah offers this message of comfort to the people of God. He reveals God's heart for the lost sinners, for the exiled, for this exiled people. They receive this message of comfort for their exile. They have this message of hope to hold on to during their pain. And it made me think this week, how different might this year have been if you'd known in March that a vaccine would come in December? In those dark, heavy days of September and October, would that have made a difference to know that the hope was there, that we might see this week people being vaccinated? And one of the key themes of Isaiah is asking whether God's providence is present in times of suffering. Can God be depended on all the time? Is he still there when my faith is weak, when everything feels lost? And perhaps for you, this year has been one of asking some of the same questions. I wonder if you might identify with one of these three experiences. Perhaps for you, it's a time when your faith is struggling. You feel that you've doubted God was really there this year, that he really cared for his people. Perhaps you're someone who's struggling with celebrating Christmas, when you feel that there's nothing to celebrate. We can't see our family. I know that for my family, the idea of not being able to hug our niece and my niece and nephew is really difficult. Or you're someone who thinks, well, my faith tells me that I have a message of hope to share with my neighbor. But what good news is there? What is the comforting message? Well, the first thing that Isaiah tells these people is that they're forgiven. The first thing he tells them is that despite everything, Despite the way that they have wandered and strayed from God, they're forgiven for all their sins, for all the ways that they have lacked faith. They are not to be treated as their sins deserve. They are forgiven. They are still his people. Imagine knowing that message through the dark days of the exile. You are forgiven. Your sin is paid for. Your hard labor is over. What more comforting message could there have been for a shattered people? In Babylon, knowing that they were warned about this happening, but they ignored Isaiah, God forgives them. And the second part of the comforting message is that they're coming home. Despite their unfaithfulness and their straying from God, he will bring them back from captivity. The processional way through the wilderness is not just the way for the Lord, but it's the way for his people, that he is going to take them with him. And how is he going to take them with him? With love. In verse 11, it says that he will tend to them like a shepherd. Imagine knowing that, trusting and believing that despite the unimaginable pain they lived through as they weep by the rivers of Babylon, dreaming of Jerusalem, their promise that that day will come to an end. And as they return, they will be changed. Every valley shall be raised up, a mountain and hill made low. And this isn't talking about the geographical landscape changing. It means there will be a new moral landscape. Their salvation will change their hearts forever. They will not be the same people who went to Babylon. And this will be noticeable for the world as it looks on and sees this happening, sees this exiled people returning from Babylon, for they will see what kind of God the God of Israel is, one who does not forget his people, who loves them and tends to them, and who brings them home. This God is a missionary God who uses his actions in order to draw others to himself. Imagine being in exile, knowing that the exile wasn't forever. I'm sure they probably didn't believe it. I'm sure in the same way I didn't believe that a vaccine might come to COVID so quickly. I would never have believed that that could happen in as short a time as it was. But the Israelites can believe it, because Isaiah's words of comfort also offer the assurance that they can believe God's words. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In chapter 39, Hezekiah had presented himself as a Messiah-like figure, but he had failed the people, demonstrating that he was only concerned with himself. He has withered and fallen, and we can find such disappointment in humans. But we do not have that disappointment with God, for the word of the Lord stands forever. It will never fall away or decay. Trusting in the words of our God is the wisest thing that we can do. His words have the same character as him. His words are unchanging and reliable, as is the God who speaks them. And because God's words stand forever, it means that these words of comfort, of forgiveness, of returning home, and being witnesses to the glory of God came true. Because these words didn't just relate to the return from exile. They're also a messianic prophecy pointing forward to Jesus. Isaiah doesn't make this completely clear until chapter 53. But the words which we then had read in the passage from Mark, in particular verse 3, a voice calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God, are the words used by John the Baptist. He was preparing for the glory of the Lord to come and dwell on earth in Jesus, who we are preparing to make welcome through this season of Advent. Those that met Jesus on earth were witnesses to the glory of God. They saw him, they met him. They too found forgiveness from him, just as Israel did in exile. They returned home to knowing him, to how God first made the world where mankind and God had the closest relationship possible. And this great truth spoken by God about himself was prophesied here hundreds of years before it happened. This passage had good news for the Israelites as they faced the exile in Babylon, for the Jews as they were waiting for the Messiah in the first century, and for us now, today. For just like all of them, through Jesus, we are offered forgiveness and the way to return home to our God, who cares and tends for us like a shepherd loves his sheep. And what should we do with this great news? Well, Isaiah says we should shout it from the mountaintops. From our gardens, we're in a hilly town, we can shout from them. From our bedrooms, from our rooftops. Because whatever has happened in the news this week, the vaccine isn't the hope that the world needs this Advent. This is the Messiah who came with strength and with the tenderness of a shepherd. We are not abandoned, not forgotten. We are loved, cherished, and known. And the Lord made the sufferings of the exile vanish like a forgotten dream. And I wonder if that will be true of this year as well. Yes, it's been a big year, a definitive year for our world. But when we're in heaven, it will be like the blink of an eye. So, if we returned back to those three people who are struggling in this season of Advent, what might we say to them? Well, I think that we could say to the person who felt that they had struggled in their faith this year, you're forgiven. I think that we would say, Christmas isn't cancelled because Jesus came. And I think that we would say, this is the greatest news that we could share with our neighbour. I'm going to pray as we end. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our great comforter, that you tend and love us like a shepherd. And thank you that this Advent, we get ready to welcome you. Amen.